When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What time is it?
Bum-ba-da-bum. You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. SEC Media Days rolls on. Ole Miss has come and gone. Monday, got it knocked out early in the week. Jackson Dart, Trey Harris, Jared Ivey, and Lane Kiffin were all there. Jake Thompson on the ground. He was there. He talked to all four of them. And we've got updates at omspirit.com. You can read all about it there. Chuck is also doing some writing. Ben as well. Lots of good stuff. If you're not already a subscriber, we recommend that you do it here. It's only a dollar. We'd appreciate it. Come join the conversation on the message board. We have a lot of fun, and I think we cover Ole Miss sports better than anybody, and we have a lot of fun doing it. And I think that you would have a lot of fun if you joined us. Before I bring in our guest, I do want to remind you, show is brought to you each and every day by College Corner. Three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. Scott and the folks at College Corner take care of us, and they will take care of you. The Oxford location, brand spanking new, 4,000-plus square feet. They've got everything from new polos, Realtree gear. They've got tailgating supplies. They've got the popular Hoop and the Sip shirt. Anything you could possibly think of with Ole Miss, College Corner has it. If you can't get to one of those three locations, have no fear. You can go check them out, collegecornerstore.com. All right. It's talking about SEC Media Days. So let's bring in our guest, someone that is no stranger to Media Days and has quite a few under his belt. And that is our good buddy, Dave Brandt. David, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. I've got, life is good. I've got my Phil Steele. And so we're all good here. I've got information for days. It was weird. I was driving. I was on vacation a couple weeks ago. I was by myself because I had dropped my wife and girls off at the airport. And I was driving from St. Louis to Phoenix, which is a long way. But I stopped. It was weird. I stopped in Tulsa to get I stopped at a Barnes & Noble just to work for a little while. And I realized suddenly I was actually in SEC country. And that was weird to think about. But I will say the bookstore had, you know, like all the college football preview magazines, because you can't, it's harder to find them here in Arizona. There's just not as many of them. But Oklahoma at least doing the magazine game right for SEC, keeping them proud.
You had to, you said it had to check on the pulse of the nation. Tulsa,
exactly.
That's where you go to do that. So, yeah, well, let's get into some of your fondest Media Day memories when you were covering Ole Miss and covering college football.
To the SEC Media Days as much as just about any event in sports. You know, the very first one I went to was the one that Phil Fulmer got served that subpoena in 2006, yeah. I think, which that's been a minute, so – it's been a little while, but, you know, it was just always fun to get college football started. There was the Robbie Caldwell. I think AL.com had a story about it a couple days ago about the Bobby Caldwell or what was his name? Robbie Caldwell. That's what it was. Robbie Caldwell and his turkey insemination life before coaching football, and that brought down the house. And so, you know, I mean, it's sort of it's like a made-for-TV non-event sort of, but it's awesome in a lot of ways. Because it was also one of the ways, just selfishly, you know, all the SEC writers were there. You got to see some of your old friends and people you only get to see a couple times a year. And so it was just a lot of fun. But there was all, there was the year of Johnny Manziel was pretty crazy, too, and Tim Tebow. You had to keep your head on a swivel when they walked through the lobby at the Winfrey in between because you could get run over by the cameraman trying to keep up with them. So it was but, yeah, no, it's always fun.
Yeah, for me, it was always kind of our buddy J.D. Piquel said it last year. He was like, it's like college football Twitter come to life where you just see everybody. It's great for networking. It's great for, you know, honestly, I think it's great to get a lot of work done. Talk to a bunch of people. You can, you know, it's, you know, fish in a barrel. You've got everybody that covers everybody in the SEC. You can talk to, you know, if you need to talk to somebody about Kentucky, there's 20 people there. If you need to talk to somebody about Arkansas, there's 15 people there. I mean, it's great. And the SEC does a fantastic job with everything. I mean, the setup is fantastic. Everything is top notch. But yeah, I think the appeal of it now, it's so corporate and mainstream, and it's, you know, kind of set the bar for media days for other conferences. But I don't want to say it just means more. I hate to say that.
Oh, you're on the SEC payroll. But I mean, I do think that media days, you know, a lot of conferences have had them over the years. It's not like they invented that concept, but I think the SEC did in a lot of ways perfect it. And as they got bigger, you know, adding Missouri and Texas A&M. And I do, and there's good and bad of the, you know, going kind of the corporate direction and everything. I forgot one of my favorite stories. I was a very new reporter covering Ole Miss for the Clarion Ledger. And I was at the Winfrey, and we were in between sessions, whatever, in between schools. And I went to the bathroom, and I'm standing at the urinal. And at the urinal next to me suddenly is standing, rest in peace, Mike Slive. And Mike Slive was like, hey, you're David Britt, right? And I was like, yes. I had no idea he'd do it. And he wasn't mad, but he was irritated about a story I'd written about Jarrell Poe and about how he was essentially a Prop 48 candidate after we're kind of getting into old school, like college terms. And he just had some quibbles with parts of my story. And we talked while standing at the urinals for a couple minutes and then washed our hands together and kept talking. And it was great. He's great. I loved Mike. And it's sad that, you know, that we've kind of moved, obviously, that, you know, things change and stuff like that. But it's just, you know, there was guys, little stuff like that, those little new interactions that made it kind of interesting.
Yeah, you know, just guys being dudes. Just chopping it up at the
guys being dudes, exactly.
So I've talked about it with a couple people this week. It's uncharted territory for Ole Miss right now. Over the years, it was always, you know, insert pun here about Ole Miss, you know, has never been to Atlanta, or they, you know, well, you can beat Bama, but you can't beat Memphis, or, you know, you're going to lose to Arkansas. Then you beat Alabama 2 years in a row, and then it's like, well, you couldn't get to Atlanta because you lost to Arkansas again. to where now it's quickly evolved in year five, where before it was like, oh, it's Lane Kiffin. He's funny on Twitter. He says a lot of, you know, controversial things. You know, we're going to get some good content. We're going to get some good quotes to put in, you know, put on a graphic or a soundbite. Now it's Ole Miss is one of the teams competing to get to Atlanta and to win an SEC title and to be in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, you know, over the years, Ole Miss had its moments. You know, there was a year or two where they were expected to be good, you know, Jevon Snead, and then, you know, a few years later with Kim Dichie and all that stuff. But it was still, like I've talked about a few times, it was more of a curiosity type thing. You know, can little Ole Miss really rise up and, you know, do something in the SEC? And I just think, you know, no, they haven't been to Atlanta yet, but I do think the narrative has changed to some degree that this isn't like a I don't know, a plucky up-and-coming Ole Miss program. This is, you know, a legitimate top 15 program that's been that way now for a few years and doesn't really show any sign of going away anytime soon. So yeah. I just think that's the difference. I think instead of, you know, Ole Miss kind of being a curiosity of being, you know, kind of a cute little story, it just doesn't feel that way anymore. It feels, you know, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it feels like when Clemson was kind of up and coming under Dabo Swinney or something like that, to where, you know, because Clemson was that team forever that was like, oh, they're going to be good this year, and then they'd go 8-4 or something like that, you know. And
yeah.
And so, you know, I think Ole Miss kind of teased people for a few years with that. But I don't think there's much question that the last couple of years with what they've done with the talent that Lane Kiffin has assembled and the way he's done it multiple years in a row now, it's just a different feeling around the program.
It's interesting you mentioned Clemson, because I've said that before, just kind of making observations of just kind of the slow rise where Ole Miss is, you know, 11 wins last year, 10 wins before that. It's been a slow build for Lane Kiffin, but now you've got the team assembled with the portal, the third-year quarterback, and a really good staff. It's kind of, I don't want to say boom or bust, but that's kind of what it feels like, right?
Well, this is, I think, just about every program, unless you're, you know, Georgia or somebody like that, goes through, you know, high watermarks. You have a really good team for a year or two, and then another year is spent maybe rebuilding a little. And that doesn't mean you have to go 5-7, but it means you might go 8-4 or 9-3. And I do think that Ole Miss is at one of their high watermarks right now. They've been building toward this year for a couple years now for the reasons you've said. Obviously, Jackson Dart being in the program for a few years, just kind of the continuity that not a lot of college programs can claim right now. So, I just think that Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, all these things have assembled to where this is a really big year. Boom or bust, I don't know if that's the right word, because I think Ole Miss, at least the plan for Lane Kiffin, is they're going to be good as long as he's there. But I do think that some years are better than others for, you know, national playoff hopes and everything, and this seems to be like one of the years they've been building towards.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Kiffin does all the rat poison stuff, and that's fine. That's kind of his MO. But I do think that there is a sense in the building of, you know, there's definitely, you know, I think everybody knows that, hey, this is, we've been building towards this.
You right,
Jackson Dart. It's not very often right now, David, you get a third-year quarterback.
Especially one that's very talented.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Utah and Cam Rising being there for 7 years or whatever it is, I mean, quarterbacks don't stick around very often. They either, you know, wait their turn, play 2 years, and then go pro, or they don't wait their turn, they go somewhere else. So it's rare, and then – the combination of running backs that have been added, and then you got Ulysses Bentley coming back. I don't think people talk enough about him as being I don't want to say every down back, because Ole Miss doesn't do that. They rotate, but
right.
He is a number one guy.
Oh, absolutely. And he's shown in SEC games that he can do what needs to be done. He can break big runs. He can do tough runs. I mean, like, there's really not much that he can't do. So
yeah,
it's a big year for him. And like you said, they'll have kind of a timeshare back there like most teams do now, but, you know, he's going to be a big, big part of what they do. And I think, again, you know, a running back that's been around for a few years that knows the system and things like that. It's just Ole Miss has a few luxuries this year that a lot of teams don't have.
Yeah, that for sure. Like, I'll ask you, because I was talking on Monday on our show, I think the only quote weakness that I see in Ole Miss is the offensive line, and only because of the newcomers and how will they mesh and how will they juggle the rotation, because they've got four returners, they've got some starters coming back, but then they've added some key pieces through the portal with two guys from Washington and then a veteran from Southern Miss. So that's like pretty much it. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, D-line, linebacker, secondary, kicking game. I don't see one. Do you?
Oh, I don't see the, like, major weaknesses. I mean, with every team, you know, there's maybe some position groups that are a little better than others. But, yeah, the offensive line, you wonder how that just kind of gels together. But, you know, they're experienced on defense. They've got pretty good special teams, like you talked about, running back, quarterback, receiver. There's really nothing that should hold it. And what I like about it is they've developed some depth, too. You know, in the Robert Kimdichie, Tony Connor, all those days, like, Ole Miss was really good with its top, like, their top six or seven players could line up with just about anybody in the country. But, you know, when you got down to, like, number, you know, the 20th best player on the roster, the 25th best player, like, that's when you really saw the depth issues with against the Alabamas, the Georgias, all that stuff. That's when it would kind of crop up its head. But now I think, you know, the two deep for Ole Miss, like I had my Phil Steele I was showing you, that's a pretty solid looking two deep. And so, you know, I think it's a team that, you know, obviously you've got to have a little bit of good injury luck, but this is a team that can maybe absorb an injury or two and not completely go off the rails.
I mean, it's crazy. It's weird. You covered Ole Miss for a long time. I've covered them for a long time. It's very bizarre to be in an off season where you're just like, I think they're really good. I don't really. There's always a but. There's always everybody's waiting on that shoe to drop of, well, they just don't have a go to wideout, or they just don't have a difference maker on the defensive line, or they don't have any experience at linebacker. Like, that's all of those are there. Like, it's
right. Or if like every, you know, if they're like in 2014, it's like, well, if their top five players stay healthy, they'll be all right. And I mean, you could say that about any team for a little bit, but yeah, I mean, you know, and the one thing that, again, something that I think has changed, because again, there's been moments, Ole Miss has had a few moments over the years where they've been kind of a sexy top 15 pick or something like that. Yeah. You know, they've had, you know, Jevon Snead was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Houston Nut, you know, with the sunglasses, you know, all that stuff. I mean, they've had moments, but this one just doesn't feel, and I'm not saying the other ones were manufactured, but I mean, the other ones were just like, oh, this is a good story. Like, this is just, you know, Ole Miss isn't running from the expectations. Ole Miss isn't, you know, either they're going to achieve and get it done or they're not, but they're not going to sit here and try to gaslight everybody that's like, oh, we're just, you know, we're just happy to be here. They're not happy to be here anymore. They want to win, and they have a roster that looks like it can certainly do that.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. It's out there wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The College Corner is headed to Oxford. Stop by their new location in the Oxford Commons off Sisk Avenue. They'll have 4,000 square feet of Rebel gear ready for your trip to the Grove. On your next trip to Oxford, stop by the College Corner or our other great locations in Ridgeland and Flowood. Hats, shirts, polos, pullovers, sweats, t-shirts. College Corner has it all. And as always, you can visit us online at collegecornerstore.com. That's collegecornerstore.com. The College Corner, where your game day apparel meets.
Before we get into the next segment, I do want to remind you, show is also brought to you by our good friends at USA Benefits Group. Drew Moak and the folks at USABG do a fine job helping you cut those health insurance premiums 20 to 30%. If you're aging into Medicare, you need to find a supplement plan. Drew can help you out. 601-953-8449. Call him today. Get a free quote. Everything from regular health plans, life insurance, dental, vision, Medicare, all that and more. It's more than ever, it's critical to have an agent that is local and accessible. Drew can do that if you're in Mississippi, but he's also licensed in seven states as well. So he can move around quite a bit. He's an Ole Miss guy, born and raised in Mississippi, and he can help you cut down those health insurance premiums today. Again, 601-953-8449 or usabg.com/DMOAK and get your free quote. Show also brought to you by our good friends at Roback. Go there today, roback.com. Get you some new polos for going to play golf, maybe some business trips. You need a little business casual attire for a conference that you're going to, or maybe you need to just, again, update the wardrobe for the Grove. You want some generic polos that are nice, and you don't want to have everything with Ole Miss on it. Roback is anything but generic. They have got some fantastic styles and designs. I love the collars. They fit great. They are always going to stay put and super comfortable. You can tuck them in. You can look business casual, like I said, or you can just leave them untucked, and it looks great. It's not sloppy. Fits great. And if you go to Roback today, roback.com, before you hit checkout, use promo code JUICE for 20% off. That's roback.com. Crave activity. All right, David. What do you think? I have my idea of the three games that are make or break for Ole Miss this year. We might have the same, and if we do, that's fine. But in your opinion, what are the three games Ole Miss must win in order to get where it wants to get, and that's the college football playoff?
Well, that's a good question. Let me take a look.
If you're Lane Kiffin, you would say, well, we got to win the first one against Furman.
So. Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to make, obviously we've talked a little bit, that Georgia game is the one game that I think you could theoretically afford to lose. Like, yeah, you know, just if Georgia is what we think they're going to be, which there's no reason to doubt that. You know, that the stretch, the LSU, Oklahoma, Arkansas stretch, I just, you know, those three games, you know, especially you get Oklahoma at home, LSU, Arkansas. I mean, you could throw maybe South Carolina as that third game. I think LSU and Oklahoma are the two that are jumping out to me. And then the third one I'm kind of open on. What about you?
I am, to be honest, it's LSU. Mainly because Ole Miss hasn't won there since 2008. I think it's Oklahoma. Second only meeting all time. And,
right, and that game's in Oxford.
Oxford, first time in the, you know, SEC, Oklahoma playing SEC Ole Miss. I think
Florida's a big one.
I was going to say, I'm going to get to Florida. Oklahoma to me feels like it could be a fun back and forth game. We still got to see what Jackson Arnold's going to look like. I know he showed some flashes in the bowl game, but he's still going to be a true sophomore. And true sophomores make true sophomore plays, and sometimes they're great, sometimes they're awful. And on top of that, I think that's a big game because Ole Miss has been great at home under Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. So can it keep it going there? And then obviously Georgia, I think that point in the season, November 9th, potentially both are undefeated. At that point, it has to be, depending on what others are doing, could potentially be a 1-2 matchup. I mean, that would just be November 9th, 2024 would be the mecca of college football at that point.
Oh, yeah. My only thing about that game is that, you know, again, if it's that situation, you could lose that game and life doesn't end. You know what I mean? But, you know, as far as just like the things that matter – for the, you know, if they want to get to the playoff, you've got to beat LSU at Oklahoma and that Florida, you know, the Egg Bowl is always tricky. But
my thing about Florida is that time of the year, what are they going to look like?
Exactly.
And will Billy Napier still be the coach?
Right. Either there's almost it's not going to just be going okay at the Swamp. It's either going to be going great or horrible. There's not really going to be any in between. Either Billy Napier figures it out and they're like 8-2 and feeling good about themselves, or it's a interim coaching staff and it's a disaster. Like I don't really see how that ends much other way.
Yeah. And I think it's, because let's just look it up because it's pretty wild that Florida agreed to this schedule. Miami in the Swamp. Let's give them that. Just for the sake of this conversation, we'll give them Miami 1-0. Samford at home 2-0. Texas A&M at home. For the sake of this argument, 4-0. At Mississippi State, 5-0.
Well, that's only their fourth game. How are they winning 5?
Oh, sorry. I was giving them a win in the orange and blue game. So
they should win that. So if they don't, there's really going to be problems.
Blue beat orange 19-17. So 4-0 after Mississippi State. UCF at home, that'll be tough because UCF should be pretty good. For the sake of this, 5-0. Then at Tennessee, that's a loss. 5-1. Kentucky, maybe 5-2. Georgia, 5-3.
5-3.
Texas, 5-4. LSU, 5-5. At that point, 5-5 against an undefeated or a one loss Ole Miss.
That is a brutal schedule. And then, we're giving them the benefit of the doubt of some pretty tough games early.
Oh, yeah.
If you've got at home Miami, Texas A&M, and UCF, I bet they drop one of those games.
I bet they drop
And two. Maybe two of them.
I mean, they could lose in the opener.
Yeah. I mean, you could see a path where they go like, where they're 3-7 or something like that.
So,
obviously things have changed at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that, I mean, you could potentially have for the sake of this argument and giving them the benefit of the doubt, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you could have a 5-0 probably ranked Florida team in October, and then the wheels fall off. And
then they lose 5 straight.
You're off a cliff.
Right. The scary thing about that schedule is they could go 6-4, and I would consider that to be really good. And I still don't know if that's enough to save Nate. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a tough, like, even if things go right, that's a heck of a run there from mid-October to mid-November.
Yeah. So that's my thing with Florida. I know the Swamp is a Swamp, and it's a tough place to play. That's kind of one of those games, we've talked about it over the last couple months, David, where you kind of have to just throw your helmet on the field and just say, hey, we're better. We're better on paper. We're going to be better on the field. You got to win those road games in the SEC.
Yep. Especially when Florida's coming off that murderer's row. And Ole Miss now includes the murderer's row. And then after Ole Miss, you got Florida State. So, I mean, like, it's – That's quite a 7-game run. One good thing for Ole Miss is, like, you might, I don't know, catch them off. I don't think they're going to build up for the Ole Miss game any more than any of the other games.
Yeah.
It's going to be – that's just a heck of a stretch for them.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I've been told by several people that would absolutely know or know someone who would know that if Napier doesn't get to 8 wins, he's done.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, Florida's quickly morphing into Texas A&M territory where it's just like, why aren't they better?
Yeah. It's truly a fascinating conundrum with that job. Only two guys have ever won big there. It's wild.
Spurrier and Meyer.
It's so weird. You would think that, because everybody talks about Kiffin, and we can close on this here, because I want to hear your thoughts. Everybody talks about Kiffin, because like I have buddies that are they're like, I really hope Napier gets it together this year, because I really can't deal with 3 months of Lane Kiffin Florida rumors. I know it's everybody's going to do the like, well, it's close to the beach, and you know, all.
Have you been to Gainesville? It's not that close to the beach.
No, it's not. And I have been there.
Yeah, I like Gainesville. Gainesville's a cool town, but it's not close.
I think it's all right. Like, the Top is a great restaurant. It's a fantastic college town restaurant. I enjoyed it. I was there for like 4 weeks in a past life for when I worked in healthcare. But yeah, it's not a bad college town. But it's just weird. You're in the state of Florida, all that talent, the Florida Gators, the Swamp, all the national championships, the Heisman. It just blows my mind. But with Kiffin, I don't think this is just like, well, I'm just going to go to Florida, bigger program.
Like, yeah,
I don't see that anymore.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, like, again, we've talked about this. Like, I'm not saying Lane Kiffin will ever leave. He very well may leave. But it's just going to be because it's something of, like, a feel for him. Or so, I mean, there's very few jobs at this point that I think are legitimately above Ole Miss. There's a few. I mean, like, you know, the Texases of the world. Like, but even so, with after you've built what you've built at Ole Miss, I don't think moving on would be that appetizing for Lane Kiffin or really any coach. When you found out that you can win really big where you're at, like, I'm not sure if Florida has anything at this point, other than obviously, like you said, the talent pool of ridiculous high school athletes right next to you. I'm not sure there's much else, you know, more advantages to that job. In fact, there's some disadvantages just because of the expectations and all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. Maybe Lane Kiffin, there's something about Florida he really likes. I don't beats me. But I don't think coaches Lane Kiffin or any football coach at this point is leaving Ole Miss just to get out of there because somewhere offers more resources. I don't think there's very many jobs like that anymore.
It's the wrong job in the state of Florida to be talking about if you're referring to Lane Kiffin going anywhere. But then,
well, would he want to go to Florida State, you think, or something?
No, I was referring to Miami, but
or back to FAU.
I mean, Tallahassee's even further away from the beach he likes. Like,
right.
I feel like Kiffin's in, you know, either an Atlantic or Pacific Ocean guy. I don't think he's a Gulf of Mexico guy.
He is kind of a West Palm Beach guy.
Yeah, I would say West Palm Beach or maybe like a Huntington Beach or Manhattan Beach type dude. So it's going to happen at some point, I'm sure, because I don't think Florida's going to be very good. And everybody's going to start talking about Napier getting fired. And Kiffin's going to be the first name on the list, which honestly, at this point, if you're Ole Miss, when your head coach is on every single hot board,
I was about to say that's a good problem to have. If you're not having those problems, then
yeah,
what are you doing? If nobody wants your coach, there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah, so it's fine. I wouldn't, in my opinion, I wouldn't worry about it. Like you said, I'm not going to ever say he's never leaving, but I just don't think it's for Florida.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's going to have to be a really good situation, or things are going to have to be going worse at Oxford. You know, I just don't.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't make a lot of sense at this point. College football isn't known for making sense a lot of times, but in my world, it just doesn't seem like, unless Lane Kiffin just, like I said, has like a timeshare in Gainesville or something like that, it just doesn't seem like a amazing move to me at this point.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it for this Wednesday edition of the Flagship. Again, shout out to Roback, College Corner, USA Benefits Group, and all of our sponsors that make it possible. Shout out to David for joining us, taking us down memory lane and talking some Ole Miss football as Media Days marches on. Full coverage from Jake, Chuck, Ben. They have you covered with everything that Lane Kiffin, Jared Ivey, Jackson Dart, Trey Harris, everything they were saying at Media Days. We'll continue to talk about it this week with more podcasts, and we'll have some MLB draft coverage, as it looks like Ole Miss has really dodged a couple bullets that are big for the 2025 season. We will be talking about that on the site. Do some writing later today on what that means. Hope everybody that got early access to EA Sports College Football 25 is getting some sleep. And look, it,
including you, Zach.
Yeah. So
you've got responsibilities, Zach. You're a grown man, Zach.
I got work in the day, and then I just, after 7:30 when these kids go to sleep, that's my time.
That's daddy's time.
Yeah, but look, if you got the game, do me a favor, listen to your significant other. If they tell you it's time to put the sticks down, just do it. You can live to play another day. As our buddy Andy Staples said yesterday when the game came out, he tweeted, "I hope everybody has fun. Don't get divorced." But
he has a way of putting it. Andy's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. We'll be back later this week. More of the flagship. Again, appreciate David hopping on. And as always, we will talk to y'all again pretty soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.